Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, I got a nice guest today, Stephen Hill. Self-recruited, went from unknown to Division I baseball player. His story is inspirational across the board. It just says to believe in yourself fully and foremost, and don't forget about your dreams. I believe anything is capable, and Stephen's here today to, kind of showcase that, tell us a little bit about his story. And just discuss how he became a Division I athlete and was always self-motivated, what some of those drivers were, and just talk a little bit about his journey. So appreciate your time today, Mr. Hill. He's 6'1", 210 pounds. So the kid is what I would say a big piece of protein. So what's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, appreciate you on to the mouth today. A couple different things is your story a little bit. I want to get right into the meat, and then we'll get into we'll start back. But you really went from an unknown baseball player, even though you had some awards junior and senior year, and then you were able to really self-recruit yourself. I mean, you reached out to a wide range of coaches and things of that nature. So I guess that to take a step back, senior year, what type of awards did you receive from a baseball standpoint?
I wasn't really a highly touted recruit. I didn't get many awards. My junior year was probably my best year of baseball in high school, and I only hit like 330 in high school. And I had like some all conference team awards and some all region team awards, but nothing too crazy. And then my senior year, I hyperextended my both my wrists and I hit like 280, so wasn't a very the senior year I was looking for.
Yeah, I mean that happens. So you kind of had a bump in the road, right? You have an injury your senior year, after coming off a phenomenal junior year. I mean, between junior year and senior year, were you hearing from any colleges from a baseball standpoint? Were you getting any letters? I mean, what were they? Were there? Was anyone reaching out to you, or was it?
Not really. My junior year, I had like a lot of D3 schools to talk to, and I knew that wasn't really the route I was trying to go. And then my senior year, after my disappointing year, I really knew that the junior college route was the one I had to take if I wanted to get where I wanted to be.
Okay. I mean, during that year that you hurt your you got that injury, right? I mean, what was your mindset? Were you keeping in the back of your head because you knew that, you kind of your main goal ever since I spoke to you was always that you wanted to play Division I baseball. But what are some of the things that how'd you keep your mind positive? How did you stay focused and start to realize, hey, I know there's a path for me to get to my goal? Like you say, the junior college route, a lot of people get discouraged and realize, you got to go to a small school to get to a big dream. I mean, how do you stay positive during that time?
Oh yeah, it was very it's the JUCO route's very humbling route for sure. And during my senior year when I was hurt and there was no one else to really play in front of me, I had to take the thought away from myself and kind of put it towards the team and just do whatever I could to help the team win at the time, which was just kind of like not strike out and situational hit to win some ball games.
Yeah, so you realize you have to go the junior route. So what was your mindset there? How did you know which program to pick, or were your options limited? What made you pick the school you did?
I really wanted to go like away from home for my junior college, but it's just such an important decision. Like to like junior college, you want to know what you're gonna play and everything. And I talked to South Suburban College and the coaches there, Coach Ruzic and Shane, and I knew right away when I was talking to them that they were going to be a good fit. They were really intense. They knew what it took to get to the next level, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, perfect. So, you know, no disrespect to South Suburban. Probably a lot of listeners haven't heard that. But that's the whole concept here, is right? It's like, you know, you're realizing you're reaching out, and you're realizing you're going to need some help, right? So you realize, hey, these guys know what it takes to get to the next level. So you are interviewing the coaches, right? You're interviewing their program, making sure they're the right fit. And you're coming off, you know, not an ideal situation. You're injured. But mostly you didn't have the best, you know, from a stats standpoint. And so you go to your junior college. And then so after, you know, how's that going? Because I know some of your process after your first year, how did that pan out after your first year there?
Oh, my first year was awesome, actually. But as soon as I stepped on campus, I realized I was a lot smaller than even the guys that are just a year older than me. And I knew that, like, this is the time where your body really develops. You turn into a man. And I had to get in the weight room all winter. And then the spring came, and I ended up hitting, I think, about, like, 10 homers. And I hit for a decent average. And those were the stats I needed to move on to the next level.
Yeah, so it was after this year, was your phone just blowing up? You're getting text messages from everyone. Everyone's reaching out to you. Like, how did that happen? After that year?
After that year, it was a lot of D2s at first, like my freshman year, and then, but I really did start to get the Division I looks. Like, I was looking to transfer, or a couple teams wanted me to transfer my freshman year, but I mean, the patience worked out for then. So I was like, might as well stick around for another year, see what happens. And then I ended up getting even bigger, and my fall of my sophomore year, which is when most junior college guys get recruited, I hit pretty well, and I was like at my peak physical performance. I was a big boy, and I was fast and strong, and I was feeling good, and I had to recruit myself from there.
Yeah, you know, one of the good stories is, like, you know, I sat down with you, and, you know, you were reaching out, you know, sending emails to coaches, right? You were sending emails directly. You weren't, you know, you want to talk a little bit about that, and, you know, just realizing, yeah, Division II is fantastic. I mean, go to a Division II and play college baseball, or any sport for that matter, is a phenomenal accomplishment. And, you know, what, 2% of all kids that play sports get that opportunity, or probably a little bit less. But that wasn't something that, you know, yeah, that's a phenomenal accomplishment, but you had even larger goals. So, you know, can you talk a little bit about how you started working on your own behalf and, you know, keeping the doors open?
Yeah, I mean, it's in junior college, I mean, even in high school, like, you got to do your own recruiting. Like, there's no one else that's going to do it for you. I was emailing, like, probably, like, 50 schools that I thought were like, a good fit for me and, like, my level at the time. And I started to get, like, I mean, out of those 50 schools, I think it got, like, 10 responses. But even 10 schools talking to you is pretty cool. So, I mean, in my case, I think I would have emailed more schools and more schools that I thought, even schools that I didn't think would fit. I think I would do that, because you really don't know until you're there talking to the coaches and everything.
Yeah. And, you know, reaching out to 50 schools and 10 of them getting back to you, were they all like, hey, we're very interested? Or were half of them like, hey, you know, you kind of piqued my interest?
Yeah, it was like mixed. So there was like, maybe like half were like really super interested, and then half said, like, we'll follow you and keep us updated, like follow back on emails. So even then, like if you're still doing well and emailing and keeping in touch, like, it's still big to be doing that.
Yeah. And you know, what I want most of the listeners to get out of this is, like, listen, this is 10% of the schools got back to them with an actual interest in your capability as a baseball player, and that got you excited. So you don't have to, you know, I mean, baseball, for instance, you bat 330, you're in the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, over the course of the career, look, this was 10% of people got back to him, and that was, you know, got you very excited. Obviously, you stated this 2 minutes ago, is like, you have to do all the recruiting yourself. And what people really got to realize is like, listen, for you to accomplish anything from either from an athletic standpoint or professional, you got to do it yourself. You got to work hard. You got to keep believing in yourself. I mean, there's numerous times just in the last 10 minutes that it sounds like you had an easy way to just, you know, kind of just either take a division, you know, three offer or two, but you kept sticking with your goal, even through injuries and, you know, kind of 90% of the coaches and stuff not even getting back to you. That didn't discourage you. So I got to give you credit for that. So let's just talk a little bit about that. So you got the five schools get back to you, right? And then how did you become, like, can you tell us what transpired with Morehead State and how that all broke down?
Yeah, it's actually funny, like, how I ended up there. So I was at a showcase with my junior college team in the fall, and I had talked to about, like, six or seven schools that I knew were going to be at that game to see me play. And they're all, I'm playing third base, and they're all standing up on the third base line. They're talking to me throughout the game. It's kind of like a weird, like, I can't believe this is happening thing right now. And it's funny because Morehead State, they watched me during the in and out and like warmups. And then the head coach, he only came back for my at bats, and during that game, I think I made about like five errors in the field, and after each error, I just saw like one coach leave and one coach leave, and you could only imagine what that's doing to your head right there. After the game, I was like, "Oh no, I blew it! All this hard work for nothing!" And then I ended up getting a call from Morehead, and I went on the visit and talked to him, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, most people have a bad outing or a bad, you know, kind of in your instance, you had a bad showcase. You got all these coaches here. You're excited. You worked your tail off to get here, and then you forget how to catch a ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And it didn't help the field I was playing on was like concrete, and no one watered the field, I guess, for like a week.
And you're like, coach, just dude, I could DH. I could hit the ball. Just put me in.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a little step back as far as baseball is concerned for everyone to kind of understand when you're recruiting or during the recruitment, you know, I guess, what did most coaches tell you? Because I know in your mind, you always wanted to play at third base and you had to kick first base, but were any coaches coming to you and wanted you to switch positions, or was there any before Morehead, was there any, because, you know, maybe they thought your fielding, you know, third base is a very important aspect. Obviously all of the positions are, because it's a limited amount of positions with nine, but third base being a key component and could be a leader on the corner. Did you have any schools come
yeah,
in when you changed
I had
positions?
A lot of schools that were really iffy about my fielding, but I always knew like I have the eye hand coordination to play third base and to hit. But yeah, there were a lot of schools, and even schools I wasn't really interested in, like some junior colleges and D3s to want me to play first base and everything. And I knew I had more athletic capability than that. And I just kept working and working at it. And so that's why I picked South Sub for that reason, just because they said, like, you're going to play third base for us. And I knew I could do it.
So it looks like you get to a next step, right? And then it seems like even in the next step where you get these offers and things of that nature, people are, you know, there's still, you know, more obstacles that you got to overcome. I mean, first of all, yeah, cool, I get an offer to go play baseball here, but now they don't even want me to play the position I want to play or that I think I'm capable of. So it's like every single time you take two steps forward, it seems like you got to take a bigger step or a step back, reassess, and then, you know, make sure that the situation is right for you. So you can, not only did you want to play Division I baseball, but you wanted to play Division I baseball.
Yeah, it was tough. Right? It's like you have to, you can't settle for what, you have to just know, like, within what your goals are and what, like, you know, personally, you just got to be honest. And sometimes it's, you got to be honest with and say that you're better than what everyone else is saying. And sometimes you got to be honest and be like, all right, I gotta work on this. They're right. I'm not that good here.
So, you know, without this whole thing, I mean, is it something that you, how did you get this determination? Is it, you know, growing up, like what in your background made you just never give up in a sense, right? I know that's a cliche, but you really never did throughout this whole process. We're going to get into the, you know, your first season with Morehead State, but what your background allowed you to be, you know, just taking these, you know, not getting discouraged. I mean, it sounds like you always kept a positive mindset and even self-reflection, like you just stated. You know, what helped you? What attributes allowed you to do
that? I feel like
that?
I went through almost the same thing, but earlier in life through hockey. I played throughout high school playing hockey, and I was like always the worst, like almost one of the worst kids on the team, like when I was like 8, 9, 10. But when it came around to like 12, 13, 14, I became the best kid on my team, and I knew like that's just me growing into my body and me like getting faster and stronger. And I had a feeling that was going to happen with baseball too, just later. Family that was always supportive, even through when I was playing bad, they were just like, just keep working at it, keep going. And I had a good parents and brothers to keep me going.
Okay. So your brothers were inspirational, help you, and just, you know, through that journey. And your parents were always there to support
It was awesome. My parents were always positive, telling me to keep going. And even my older brothers, like they were about like 8, 9 years older than me, but I got to see them like crushing their goals and battling their adversity and doing what they want to do. And I thought it was super inspiring growing up, just seeing them go through their struggles, but like overcome their struggles. So I knew I could do it too.
Nice. So you had a good foundation, it sounds like, to be able to make, you know, you saw examples that were getting through some of their, you know, steps of life. So that's cool that you're able to do that. Any, you know, I guess before we get into Morehead, anything, you know, leading up to this that we left out that, you know, is a key aspect that allowed you to have some success this year? Obviously you had a great year, but anything else that we're missing from the past before we get into this first year as a Division I player?
I can't think of it right now, but if we still haven't covered at the end, I'll be sure to speak up.
Okay, perfect. So you get in here, you talk to the coach, he calls you, and now, you know, how's it all transpired? You take that, you just said you went, you visited, how is all that?
Yeah. When I first stepped on campus at Morehead, it was my first Division I visit, and I was just like, I was in like shock and awe almost, even though like the place isn't that like cool, the facilities weren't that nice, but I was still like, wow, this is like really cool. And I think the coaches saw that in me, and they ended up giving me an offer that was really nice. They were the first Division I school to offer me, and I feel like a lot of the schools were kind of waiting around to see which one would offer, and so they didn't like over offer. And Morehead was the first one to give me an offer. It was an offer I couldn't really refuse either. It gave me like a week to think about it, and I think I gave it like 2 or 3 days. I was like, I can't really pass this up.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so then you get the offer, you move away from home, you know, it's your first, you start out, you know, the first collegiate game.
Yeah.
Started right?
My first one or the first. Yeah.
Went 0 for, yeah, you went 0 for 3. Hold on. You went 0 for 3. You get 2 walks. Those are my big dogs in the background. So then you get two walks. You actually start out your collegiate career, what, 0-for-9?
Yeah, it was a rough start.
Okay. But you didn't get discouraged. Obviously, you know, you went from starting that first collegiate game. But what was it, your second game, though? You were on ESPN. Was that your second game? Or what game was it that you were on ESPN
so,
top 10 plays
so
a week?
The opening day, I was 0-for-3, and then I got like some spot pinch hits. After that, I like struck out in a couple big situations. I was like letting the moment get the best of me, and then like I totally had to get it in myself. Like the moment's not too big. Like I belong here, and just get back to doing what I do. And like about like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I got another start, and I didn't let that opportunity pass again.
Yeah, so you get here, right? You start out the season. You're kind of like not starstruck.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit, right? I'm a Division I baseball player. I'm starting my first game, and you know, and then you know, you kind of like you said, you had a not a rough outing, but you had some learning and more. No more obstacles in place. So you start out there, and then, I mean, obviously the rest is history, because the next couple games that you started, I think you went for 6-for-10 in a stretch and had 4 runs in one of those games. And after, you know, your seventh game, you're batting 300 already over that. So it's kind of cool that you were able to just have a self-reflection. Even when you were there, you're like, oh, start your first game, then you don't really get a call back for another week and a half to really start. So that even when you got there, it was kind of crazy. But let's take a step back, because I think we overwent it. You made an amazing catch that was all over the internet. You know, I got it texted to me. I mean, could you explain a little bit of what happened there?
Yeah, it was cool. It was one of the weekends I really started feeling good and blowing up a little bit. And I ended up getting a foul ball on foul ground, and I had to jump over the tarp to get it, and it was pretty cool. It was on ESPN and everything, and I actually never got to see it on the top 10 plays. I couldn't find it on YouTube, but I heard it was there, and it was a pretty cool moment for me.
So you're a millennial and you don't know how to use the internet. So next time I see you, I'll teach you how to Google.
Yeah, exactly. It's so tough.
Yeah. So I had it sent to me, phenomenal play. It was awesome. I mean, really just the kickoff, right, of your career. You go from the first time Morehead State watches you play, you can't catch, and now you're jumping over tarps, making circle catches, making ESPN, hitting the hell out of the ball, and you know, putting your dreams in place. So kind of a full circle there, huh? So that's pretty cool,
I would
imagine.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was awesome.
Yeah, so fast forward your first year, I would say it's a pretty good success. You go out for 2019 season, you batted .327, you had 6 homers, slugging percentage was .462. For all you you know, stat nerds like myself, just wanted to give you, not only did you reach your dream, but you had success. You know, this first year, and obviously you have two more years of eligibility,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken. So perfect. I mean, throughout your first season, you're away from home, going to college, playing Division I ball. I mean, anyone on the team really bring you as like, you know, was a big brother to you or helped you out really get comfortable in this situation?
I mean, and at Morehead State, I think there's like 17 different states represented on the team. So no one knew each other going in or had like a home to go to. So like that made it really easy for the transition. Like all the guys were so cool and we all hung out together. And I made it a point to like really hang out with a lot of the veterans on the team. Like most of my best friends were seniors, and just to get like the gist of things, to know what to expect and to just like how to go about my business. I kind of wanted to model myself after them, and they were really good role models, and they taught me some good stuff.
So you guys got a lot of returning guys season.
We have probably half the team coming back, and probably have a new team come in. So it'll be interesting. That's exactly how it was when I came in. So I don't think we'll have a problem.
Perfect. Is there anything, before we get into where you are now, is there anything that's real glaring or that you're like, I'm so glad this happened or very thankful for this person? I mean, anyone that guided you through? So you had some obviously veterans on the team. Was there the coaching staff was pretty easy, took you under their wing? I mean, anything like that? How'd you stay successful throughout the year? I mean, you played 58 games.
Yeah. I mean, I had one of my best friends on the team, Connor Pauly. He went through the same. He's from the Chicago area too. He came from a junior college as well, and he did the same exact thing the year before me. And we hung out like every single day, and he really like showed me how to go about my business there, and like we worked out all the time together after practice and everything, and I think it really helped in both of our success for the season for sure.
Perfect. And what position? Center field. Play? Oh, nice. Kenny Lofton was my favorite player growing up. So now, obviously, you concluded on your first year. Congratulations. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, you're a one percenter in the sense of being able to play Division I sport and be an athlete. So congratulations on that. Obviously, the determination, hard work has got you this far. You've been successful on the main stage. So it's also opened up a couple of doors for you now. So, I mean, what's your current state? What are you currently doing from a baseball standpoint? Or life standpoint?
Right now I'm in Washington, D.C. playing for the Alexandria Aces in the Cal Ripken League. So it's a pretty cool experience out here. A lot of young guys, a lot of good talent. So it's a good league to be in.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to end it with a few questions. Our last question is like, so you going through remembering yourself after – you know, getting that injury your senior year, not really getting the offers that you anticipated after your junior year, to making it all the way to where you are now, where you're being hosted in Washington, D.C. to play baseball the entire summer. And then, you know, returning to school and you know, on a D1 scholarship. What advice do you have for young men and women out there that are going, that want to play at the top tier level or anything from a athletic standpoint to a professional standpoint? I mean, what advice would you give them?
Advice for them, I would say surround yourself with people with similar goals and aspirations. Like even in high school, my best friend, we were not both highly recruited, and we worked out together every single day. We lifted, we hit, we did all that. And I think even the guys like not counting baseball, like surrounding yourself with good people is just, it's good for your health, good for positivity. And I think being around the right people definitely helped me for my success.
Okay, perfect. Well, outside of going, Morehead State's website and following the baseball program, do you have any social media outlets that people can follow your journey on or see how you're doing throughout next season?
My Twitter is, Steven with a PH underscore Chaw, CHAWW. So.
Oh, you're a big Chaw guy, huh?
No. That was made like my freshman year of high school, like not even thinking.
Well, perfect. You know, I want to thank you so much for joining the mouth today. I mean, your story is just the beginning of your journey, not only in baseball, but in life. And, you know, keep up the positivity, keep influencing people in the correct manner. Obviously success is, already happened from a baseball standpoint. Hopefully you're keeping your grades up. So You know, you can continue that on from a business standpoint, whatever it takes you, or your next level at baseball. But appreciate your time today. You know, good luck to, you know, you guys next year at Morehead State. Hopefully I'll be able to check out a game, not just on ESPN, which I checked you out a few times this year on ESPN Plus, but, you know, come see you in person and watch you play. But continue to work hard and keep being a good inspiration, a good person in today's society. So thanks, Stephen. Appreciate you joining today.
Thank you very much.